Let's turn to Leviticus this evening. Leviticus chapter 24. Man, may the Lord really just speak to us. May we excavate some good things out of His Word. I think we found that Leviticus is maybe not quite as dry as we might have anticipated. There's a lot more in there than what we might have anticipated. I would encourage you to simultaneously, if you can, get more familiar with Hebrews while we're reading Leviticus, because they're kind of parallel readings, you know, and they kind of speak about similar things. So Hebrews is really the New Testament counterpart to Leviticus. So that kind of gives you some insight into that. We've talked about that a little bit, and we've gone back and used it as a reference. But we just finished up going over the feasts and the week-long celebrations that would transpire seven times a year, and the significance of that. And as we get into chapter 25, then we're going to start talking about specific years that are broken away and to be set aside for God. So we've had these weeks, and then we're going to go into the years, and conveniently, in between chapter 23 and 25 is chapter 24, as we have fortunately found it there. And it's going to be talking about really a lot of our daily living, you know, how we live daily. What is our daily life to be like? And so we're going to kind of talk about it in that, from that perspective. You know, what should we be thinking about, New Testament believers? What should we be thinking about in our life out of this Leviticus chapter 24? So put your thumb there and then turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16. Deuteronomy chapter 16. I think this best explains some things that we've been seeing, and hopefully it will shed some light on our participation. That's kind of one of the things I want to talk about, is our participation. So there's God's part. We all have a part in that. You know, God's got His main part of everything. And then there's our response. Our response involves our participation. You know, so just like conversationally, we interact together. Conversation or true communication can't just be one way, right? If we're going to have an effective, fruitful prayer life, we have to pray, we have to express our hearts to the Lord, but then we have to sit still and listen to what God might impress upon our hearts, to look through. When I spend time in prayer like that, I try and have a Bible near me, because oftentimes God will impress His Word on my heart. Maybe it's from my devotional reading that day. Maybe it's from some other segment of Scripture. Sometimes it is completely something that is just something God just drops into my heart, you know, that is, it's not random. To me, it seems random, but it's not random. You know, it's something that God's impressing that is very specific, and it addresses a specific issue. I've had that happen not infrequently. It goes on. And so, you know, I think the thing is, though, is it's a discipline for us, because our tendency is go in, blah, blah, you know, and just spew it all out, and then bam, we got to get out the door. I got stuff to do, you know. And it's like, that's not communication. That's just dropping off things. And there are things that I like to drop off at the cross. But it's equally important not just to drop off, but to listen for the heart of God. What would God want to say in response? When we've ever had in Los Angeles, when we had construction crews that were traveling all over the LA Basin area to go and do jobs, you know, it was one thing if I helped them load their truck and all this stuff, and I told them basically, hey, this is a map of what the project, here's the house, this is what the project looks like around the house, and yeah, they're clear and all that, and I just send them out they leave. But they have no direction as to what the address is. They know what to do. They know what to do, but they don't really know where they're going or how to get there. That's sometimes our case. Sometimes we're even missing the what to do, you know, thing. It can be any number of those things that can be missing, or it can be all the above, but waiting and listening, receiving our instruction from the Lord is really helpful. And so as we look at this, we want to look at this as our part. You know, we've got a part to play in things going on in our lives and our Christian experience. So three times a year in verse 16 of Deuteronomy 16, three times a year, all year, males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which He chooses. At the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So you remember that, the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that included other feasts too, right? Passover and some other things were included in that, right? Remember that when we hit the Feast of Unleavened Bread? There were a couple other things associated with it. That was one that they were to appear at. The Feast of Weeks and the Feast of Tabernacles. There were three times that the guys were supposed to be there for sure. You know, they needed to be at these particular gatherings. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. I underlined that. I put an asterisk by that. They were not to appear empty-handed. We're going to explain this in just a minute, more of what this means. Every man shall give as he is able. So this is our response, or the response to God's plan, the response to God's guidance and direction in our love. There's this response that should be happening in our lives to when we hear God's word, when we're reading God's word, when we're praying, we're talking, we're interacting with God. There is a response that would follow that. Well, one, we're not to appear empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, in verse 17, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. So, there is a response, and this is how the response begins to kind of flow as we hit chapter 24, beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Leviticus 24, verse 1, where your thumb was. Command the children of Israel that they bring to you pure oil of pressed olives for the light, to make the lamps burn continually. Outside the veil of the testimony in the tabernacle of meeting, Aaron shall be in charge of it from evening until morning before the Lord continually. It shall be a statute forever in your generations. He shall be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstand before the Lord continually. So, Aaron's got something specific that he is supposed to do, for sure. He is supposed to be, you know, making sure. You remember how they trimmed the wicks and they kept the menorah itself. They'd keep it lit. And so they're illuminating. They're doing. Aaron's got a specific role to light this and keep it going, keep it burning. There's something that he's specifically supposed to do. But where did the stuff come from to keep it burning? That's what's kind of cool when you think about it. It didn't just show up there on its own. You know, there was some involvement with the rest of the congregation. Aaron had specific things that he's supposed to do. And I kind of related this for, you know, ministry for myself. I understand I've got specific things that I know God's purpose for me to do, and I'm supposed to do those things. And one of them is what we're a part of right now. You know, this is part of what goes on. This is part of what we could even look at as part of the illumination that takes place, you know? We're going through and letting God minister and speak to our hearts through His Word. There's specific things that we're to do. As a congregation, though, there's something we're to do, and this is what they were to bring, was pure oil. And we know whenever we find, you know, oil, you know, things like this in the Scripture, there's always a type associated with it often. And the oil, as we've been going through this, we found is the Holy Spirit, right? The pure oil, the oil is the Holy Spirit. This is something that this is what's so great about the assembling together. This is what's so great about the significance of prayer. You know, the times that we spend in prayer. And, you know, it's so great as we get together on Tuesday mornings, the times that we spend as men, the men that get together with us, and just pray. And seek the Lord. And just, I to me, this is part of the whole backbone to what's happening in ministry. You know? That's where it really starts to come together, is through prayer and waiting on God. And you know, it's not uncommon for the guys to bring myself and my wife, our family, up in prayer. And I'm so thankful for that, for the prayers that go up. And your times alone as you're praying, you know, for me and for our family and stuff. This is all part of what really puts things together. Oftentimes, I think it was Spurgeon that said this, but there's others too that you can read up on that will say the same thing and testify the same thing, that, you know, in ministry, and real effective ministry is really not done through the pastor, but it's the congregation in which the pastor serves. And I really believe that to be true. You know, I really believe that in the power of that and the significance of that. You know, as we're going into this study this evening, I think you'll see more of this as it unfolds. But this is part of our part together in totality. This is part that you participate in and that you can participate in every day. And that's through prayer. Prayer for this body. Prayer for God's word to go out. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to share the gospel in all kinds of different venues and circumstances. Things that happen. And I know, by and large, the lion's share of all that is because we're praying, we're seeking God, we're wanting to hear from the Lord, we're praying for those opportunities. Again, as we get into this evening, I think more and more of this will unfold, and you'll start to see how all of us fit together to be a part of this whole thing. What were they to do? They were to come to these feasts and these festivals, these times that were once a week. They weren't to come empty-handed. You know, they were to come and they were to come prepared, and they were to bring the things and that God had blessed them with. They were to bring those with them. Prayer is a big part of the preparation of everyday ministry. Aaron was to be in charge of, if you look in your margin note, maybe you have margin notes, but it says arrange or set in order. This is what he was supposed to do. He's to be in charge of the lamps on the pure gold lampstands that burned continually before the Lord. And they were to arrange this. This is something that was to be put together, you know, as people brought those things in. Prayer is so significant, and yet it is so easily something that's overlooked. It's easily just kind of overlooked in the Christian experience oftentimes. The power that's there in prayer, the kind of things that can happen through prayer. Prayer is, I think, oftentimes in our particular society is misunderstood in that it's looking to find out or to try and tell God what I need Him to do for me. And that's a complete misconception of prayer. But that is oftentimes how we approach God. We have a need. And then not only are we going to bring our need to the Lord, but we're going to also tell Him how we think He should meet the need. So prayer isn't necessarily so much that. Yes, God wants to hear the need and all that. That's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. That's obviously imperative. But the real aspect of it is that I get in contact with what God is doing. That I hear from the Lord and then I move forward in the Lord. There's so much need in our world today. And when we look at the need, because the need doesn't necessitate, though, what God's purpose for us to do individually. We can't meet every need. We aren't capable of that. It's not possible. So what do we do then? If I can't meet all the need, I see all this need out there, what do I do then as a Christian? I have to pray and I have to ask God, what would you purpose for my life? What would you purpose for our congregation? What would be your direction? And I believe the Lord supplies that information. I believe He gives us the guidance and direction. I believe that there's a connection that starts to happen between not only the needs that are out there, but God begins to put the burden on our hearts. As God puts the burden on our hearts, He also provides opportunity. He provides the insight and direction. He provides the manpower, the people, the resources, everything to do that and to fulfill that purpose that He has. God can do what He wants to do, however He wants to do it, when He wants to do it. God's able. And He chooses to partner with us. The partnership really becomes clear, though, is when I'm getting the direction from the Master, when I'm hearing from the Lord, both personally and as a part of a body of believers. Oftentimes, we get so independent in our thought, and we start missing, and we start trying to direct what everybody else should be doing. And we miss that God's doing something collectively. And that's what we want to get in and be a part of. What's God doing collectively? What are the things that God's purposed on our hearts to be a part of and to be doing? These other things are out there, and they're going to be there. And if the Lord opens those doors, man, we're going to pursue them. But we want to hear from the Lord. We want God to go before us. We want God to intend that for us to do and to be a part of. I understand the needs are great. I understand it. But I also know that we are who we are and we are capable of whatever God purposes for us. But man, to go off in our flesh and to start, how many have done things in their flesh before? Just in your own energies and found out, how good did that go for you? You know, not too good. It becomes pretty frustrating. I think there's a lot of frustrated Christians. Frustrated Christians usually give other Christians a lot of direction, but the participation is very light. Man, we need direction because, man, when we hear from the Lord, God anoints. You know, look at, I was reading through when I was thinking on this topic, I was reading through, God doesn't anoint the chairs. God doesn't anoint the building. We can sanctify it. During the time that we are here in this place, Lord, may this place be for you and your purpose. But as New Testament believers, how did we see it happening in Acts? God separated Paul and Barnabas. God called Paul and Barnabas. God anointed Paul and Barnabas. God sent them out to do what they were supposed to do. God prepared the work in advance. God did the work. God did it. And it was through prayer that these things were happening, that God did these things. And I think that's where all of our participation in this fits together. I do believe we are to pray directly to God. I think that's imperative. Pray directly to God. But I don't think God needs me to direct him on how he's supposed to do things. I want to pray directly to him and say, God, show me what you want me to do with this situation. I'm not sure. I'm getting ahead of myself right now as I speak, and I'm going to go back to the text because there's more on the same topic in a moment. So we'll get to the rest of that in just a minute. I get a little excited, and I don't want to get ahead of where we're at. The pure oil. Command the children of Israel that they bring to you, that this is coming as we gather together. This is something part of the assembly. You know, as we assemble together, we assemble to pray, you know, and to worship the Lord, to study his word, to experience fellowship, koinonia, and to have communion, you know, celebrate the Lord's table together. Prayer, fellowship, the word of God. And communion itself, you know, the Lord's table. This is the thing that's interesting to me. If any one of those is missing, I'm starting to get, you guys remember, I know this is an older thing that not everybody plays with today, but, you know, you spin a top, you know, the little tops it used to spin, and you spin this top, and if the weight starts to shift, it doesn't have inertia, it's not spinning very fast anymore, it starts to wobble around. If you had a large top and you went to spin it, if you stick a piece of gum from your mouth, you stick a piece of gum on that one side of it, it'll spin pretty good when it's going really, really fast, but then as it starts to slow down, it really gets cattywampus because it's out of balance, right? The same thing is true. Prayer, fellowship, the Word of God, communion. So the communion is the Lord's table, participating in the Lord's table, really discerning the Lord's table when you participate. You know, we've talked about that, the importance of discerning the Lord's table. You know, what is it that this is a celebration time of what God has done, past, present, and future, my sins done away with, you know, really discerning what that means to me, that God can import good things into my life by ingesting the bread and the cup. You know, I'm receiving that washing, I'm receiving that cleansing. His body, I'm assimilating that into my body. That's the nourishment that I need. That's what it represents, the nourishment that I need. And by those stripes, that broken body, I'm healed. I'm made right. I'm made right in the head. God's not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and love and of a sound mind. God's done these wonderful things, and it's ours as we ingest it, as we digest it, as we take that in. The forgiveness that's there in the Lord, you know, through the blood. Man, past, present, future sin washed away. White as snow, we can enjoy the freedom and the grace and mercy of God. All from the Lord's table. We want to enjoy that and discern it for what it is. So there's the Lord's table. There's the Word, like we're enjoying now, taking in the Word of God, digesting and being a part of the Word. Any of these things, prayer, koinonia, true fellowship with other believers. There's no islands. You know, the separate fig tree, it didn't go good. No cross-pollination, no fruit, cursed, withered away, done. All these things are so important for us to grasp as the concepts of the truth of God's Word. Because most of the time, if we do personal assessment before we say a whole lot, we will find that in a lot of our struggle, not all, but in a lot of our struggle as Christians, our frustration sets in because we're out of balance. Maybe we're really not experiencing devotion with the Lord. We're not waiting on Him. Well, but I pray. Well, okay, can you explain what you just give me an idea of what is your prayer, what is it like, you know? Can you explain it? Well, I just tell Him everything that I need and I get going, you know? Okay, great, but there's more to your prayer communication like we started off with. In other words, most of the time you're going to find that frustration will dissipate through your connection with the Lord, with the Word, with other believers, with prayer, with true communion, celebrating the Lord's table. A lot of the fresh frustration will dissipate. This is what I find for me. I find, well, gosh, you know, I know the Bible says that we can, our hearts, our mind, we get washed with the water of the Word. I just need to take a good shower here. Mentally, spiritually, I need to shower up, you know? I just need to get washed in the Word. And maybe I just need to bathe a situation in prayer. You know, really soak it up in some prayer. Because it starts to get my head thinking right. Because I realize when I started being in contact with God of His grace and His mercy, and it starts changing me trying to direct anybody else's life. And I start really realizing, man, I just need direction for mine, Lord. You know, I need to hear from You so that I can do what You want me to do. What's going to be in sync with eternity. They're to bring something with them. And this prayer is so important. And it fits in with the service in the rest of the ministry. It bolsters up the rest of the ministry. I know, brothers and sisters, I know it's hard for us to see sometimes the things that God intends for us. I know it's hard for us to see it, but it's good things. God has a plan. It's in motion. It's at work. It's happening. Trust Him. It's happening. It's in motion. And we just need to let that come together. Let that fit together. God will do it. Man, there's been things I've prayed for long, long, long seasons, years and years. And to watch God begin to develop some of these things, it's fantastic, really. It's just wonderful. And you start to learn to trust God and be patient. It's not that when I know that we all come up with ideas about things, and it's not that, that's fine. I hear those. I understand that. But you have the responsibility of keeping that in the context of the Lord and bringing that before the Lord in prayer and letting God lead. See, I believe God leads our fellowship. I believe God gives us the direction and the guidance that we need. And I believe we can trust Him. And I believe we can trust in His timing for things. He knows when things are best. I only become frustrated when I try and force my personal agenda. No frustration if I just let God have His way. I can relax, I can trust, and I can know that He's got a plan. That's exciting to me. And you shall take fine flour in verse 5 and bake 12 cakes with it. So these are the loaves of bread that they're to set out. 2/10 of an ephah shall be in each cake, and you shall set them in 2 rows, 6 in a row, on pure gold table before the Lord. And you shall put pure frankincense on each row, that it may be on the bread for a memorial, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Every Sabbath he shall set it in order before the Lord continually, being taken from the children of Israel by an everlasting covenant. And it shall be for Aaron and for his sons, and they shall eat it in a holy place, for it is most holy to him from the offerings of the Lord made by fire by a perpetual statute. So they're also to bring the supplies, bring the things that would be used to, you know, make the bread. And the bread, oh, when we go through Scripture, you know, we read through the Scripture, you know, what do we pray for? We pray for, give us this day our what? Daily. Now, do you think, I mean, yes, certainly it is bread. I understand that. But it is part of the provision for sustenance, right? It's part of what would be the provision for your life and for my life, for the sustenance of what we need. Jesus said he is the bread of life. And that's what we were talking about, remember, with the communion stuff. He is the bread of life. You know, if you don't want to, if you aren't going to eat of my body and drink of my blood, you're just not going to have any place with me, basically is what Jesus said. Some at that point, whoa, this has really gotten freaky, and they turned away and split. You know, he turns to the disciples, hey, you guys want to take off too? Nope. You have the words of everlasting life. Where are we going to go? What are we going to do? Who else are we going to follow? You know, you are ministering to our deepest need. We know who you are, kind of is what they're saying. And so they were willing to follow him. And they didn't really understand exactly what it meant to eat of his body and drink of his blood. I mean, wow, but they were willing to run with him. They trusted the Lord, you know, and they were willing to see what this meant and watch it play out. But this idea of the provision that God has for us, and that they are to bring these things. Again, we talked about the prayer that the people, you know, the pure oil that was to be brought, you know, the Spirit, to be asking for the Spirit, to be moving in the Spirit. You know, that's not just for the pastor's life. That's not just for the other people serving him. That's for all of us to ask for our congregation, that we operate in the empowering of the Spirit of the living God. You know, that we're trusting the Lord in the direction and the things that we're doing, the things that we pursue. That provision then that things that are brought in for the provision to sustain the ministry. I don't know if you remember when we read through Exodus and when Moses said, talk to the people, and the people brought all the stuff for the building of the tabernacle. And finally just said, man, you guys, please stop bringing stuff. How many places do we see advertising on television that are gatherings of God's people? Please, you've brought enough. It's enough. I've not yet seen one in my day. The thought is, though, is there is a response, isn't there, to what God's doing. God's saying, bring that. What he is doing, we're honoring him by what we bring in. You know what's amazing to me? In our size congregation, what God has allowed us to be a part of, I am constantly amazed. Constantly. We're able to be a part of helping to support missionaries, you know, in different parts of the world. We're able to bless missionaries when they just stop in. You know, there's a lot larger congregations that aren't even thinking of something like that, because they've got to plan it all out and all. Do you see God anointing plans, or do you see him anointing people to do things? See, it's God's into people. You know, God's got his plan, and so we just need to get behind his plan. He's looking for people. He says he searches to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for just one even, that he would be able to pour himself into, I'm paraphrasing, that he could pour himself into to show himself strong on behalf of that person. In other words, he wants to move through you. He wants to move through me. He wants to move through any of us that are open to being used by God. But we have to, like we sung the song, empty me. We have to just be emptied of us, emptied of our own agenda. I really pretty much ask the Lord to help. Just, Lord, please, here's the chalkboard of my mind and my heart. Erase, you know. Get it all erased, you know. And just write on it what you think needs to be done and how to go about it. It's so much simpler to realize, man, I'm just to do his bidding. He said, go here, do that. He said, go do this. Yeah. It's much easier. It's uncomplicated. Just go do it. Well, I'm not sure. Go do it. You know? God will empower. God will take care of. God will work out. We're able to, just as our fellowship, able to do some wonderful things because of what we're, you know, as God moves. It just in this last year alone, the opportunities we've had, you guys don't know because we're not them. We're not the people on the other side of the world that when you get off the plane, they're so thrilled that you were willing to set your time aside and that resources were provided that you could get to the other side of the world to just to experience what you experience here regularly. for us to get off the plane overseas and to be there, it means so much. It's a huge statement of God's love to them. And we represent you. We represent the Lord. And it's a big hug from God halfway around the world that they receive from you. This goes into your account, into eternity. That you have to grasp the whole of what this is talking about and the provision, you know, that God does and how it works. Isn't that radical to think about that? You know how God does that? And this is why we use as our theme scripture, the scripture that it doesn't matter who stayed with the supplies or who went. All the blessing is for the same for everyone. Each one gets the same blessing in the eternal account. That's the way it works. Each one gets the same blessing. We need to see it in the light. That's how God's word says to see it, and that's how we see it. You know what, brothers and sisters? There's a lot wrong. There's stuff that falls through the cracks. There's a lot wrong. We're people. But there's a lot more right. There's a lot more that God's doing than not doing. God will use all things for His glory and for His good if we just let Him, if we just let Him have them. We have to adjust our thinking to think about things from an eternal perspective. And if it all changes tomorrow, praise the Lord. Because to me, my role and our role is to be obedient to Him. To be faithful to what He purposes for us to do. If He says, hey, that rock pile over there needs to be over here. Okay. Didn't we just take the rock pile from there and put it over there yesterday? Yeah, but you know, if He says to do, what are you going to do? He's the Lord. Guess we'll learn how to lift rocks right or something, you know? I don't know. I don't have all the answers in all this stuff. But frustration only sets in when I'm not seeing things from His perspective. That's when frustration sets in. And so I'm sharing this from non-frustration, from just, hey, I'm just doing what God's told me to do. And I'm sharing with you that, man, people are getting blessed. People that you don't know are getting blessed. People that you don't know are getting fed. People that you don't know are getting ministered to. Bringing things in to the storehouse, trusting God with it. Man, as we bring things in, God gives us great direction on where to put it, where to use it, how to do things. And God is just glorified. God is blessed by it. And it's awesome. Now the son, verse 10. Now the son of an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian went out among the children of Israel. And this Israelite's woman's son and a man of Israel fought each other in the camp. Okay, sounds pretty simple, straightforward. And the Israelite's woman's son, this is where it gets bad, blasphemed the name of the Lord and cursed. And so they brought him to Moses, his mother's name, really not that relevant at this point, but they were all of the tribe of Dan. And then they put him in custody that the mind of the Lord might be shown them. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take outside the camp him who has cursed, and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and let all the congregation stone him. That's pretty intense. Then you shall speak to the children of Israel, saying, whoever curses his God shall bear his sin. And whoever blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. That's pretty strict, I would say. And the congregation shall certainly stone him, the stranger as well as him who is born in the land. When he blasphemes the name of the Lord, he shall be put to death. Whoever kills any man shall surely be put to death. Whoever kills an animal shall make it good, animal for animal. If a man causes disfigurement of his neighbor, as he has done, so it shall be done to him. Fracture for fracture, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he has caused disfigurement of a man, so it shall be done to him. And whoever kills an animal shall restore it, but whoever kills a man shall be put to death. So, wow, murder is the same as blasphemy. That's pretty radical, don't you think? Murder is the same as blasphemy. Why would that be? Why would murder be the same as blasphemy? Well, basically, blasphemy is a form of murder. It's just character assassination, you know, basically. And why does God feel so strongly about that? Because what you say of God represents Him to other people. And if you're speaking ill of God, this kind of ties into some of what we're talking about, you see. We start speaking ill of what we... I am very defensive, brothers and sisters, about the body of Christ, about this fellowship, about, you know, I just am. You know, people start, you know, making a derogatory comment, or this is why this is why I'm being very firm with what I'm saying about trying to come up with why aren't we, what can't we, how, yeah, the ideas are great, but there's got to be implementation, there's got to be we got to see what is God in it. No one's getting, ideas are getting shot down because they're their ideas. Is it something that fits into the scope of what God's wanting to do? I only want to do what God wants to do. I'm not here to do what you want me to do. I'm here to do what God wants me to do. You're not here to do what I want you to do. You're here to do what God's called us all to do together. And that's to reach out with the gospel, to preach the good news, to share and to teach the good news of Jesus Christ. So we've got our roadmap. It's out there for us, and we're doing it. It's happening. I've just given you snippets of things that are happening. All around. God's doing this. It's happening. It's in motion. God, as far as He's concerned, what you and I say of Him, if we are misrepresenting Him, people are going to not trust Him then. They're not going to believe on Him for who they should believe on. They're not going to see Him in the light that He should be seen. If you're talking, well, you know, complaining about your church that you go to, what does that represent about your God? We forget, brothers and sisters, we so quickly forget that you and I, when we look in the mirror, you're the church. You can't exempt yourself from the very thing you're complaining about. You are the church. I am the church. We are collectively the church. So I'm pretty defensive about it, you know what I mean, in that sense, because I believe God does lead. I believe God does provide. I believe God does do the ministry. I believe God moves through people like us to do all of this. And I think it's so awesome to watch that happen. God wants us to represent Him in a right way. I mean, He's saying here, hey, it's the same for any person, whether they're freeborn, you know, whether they're born an Israelite or whether they're born of another nation. It's the same judgment. You know, if this happens in Israel, it's to be the same judgment. God's no respecter of persons. There's no partiality. What about verses 17 through 21, where it talks about, you know, an eye for an eye and so on and so forth? Well, this is, you know, not retaliation. That's the whole point, is we're not to retaliate. Because retaliation is oftentimes what? Retaliation, I don't know how many of you gotten hit in the face, but anytime you get hit in the face, it's like, man, you want to hit somebody back twice as hard as they hit you. It's just that it's a response, retaliation. And we're not to have retaliation, it's more of retribution. You know, that is more what it is. It's to keep it to an eye for an eye instead of an eye for two eyes. It's pretty gracious of the Lord, if you think about it, to keep it at that so it doesn't turn into retaliation. Retaliation turns into the Hatfield and McCoys. You know, well, I shot you once, now I'm going to shoot you twice, I'm going to shoot you, bam, 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 you know, this goes on over and over again. But there's to be restraint, you know, held in something. It's only the restitution of what's happened, not retaliation. And then, verse 22, you shall have the same law for your stranger and for one from your own country, for I am the Lord your God. No partiality. No favoritism. Then Moses spoke to the children of Israel, and they took outside the camp him who had cursed and stoned him with stones. So the children of Israel did as Moses commanded them. You know, it's interesting. You see, if I don't do verse 12, if you don't do verse 12, if we don't do verse 12, this is the key verse in this. If you and I don't do verse 12, our judgment's going to be tainted. Verse 12 says, then they put him in custody. So they set him aside, set this matter aside. And then what did they do? That the mind of the Lord might be shown them. They prayed. They sought the guidance and direction from God. Because God knows what's best. God's going to do what's best. This is why when we come across ideas or concepts or different things, we want to do just that. We want to set it here for a minute. We want to pray. We want to get the mind of the Lord regarding that matter and what He would have us to do. Sometimes it's red light, sometimes it's green light, sometimes it's yellow light. Just let it table it, sit, let it sit. We'll see, you know, we'll see. Sometimes it's, no, that's not for you. I got other people doing that. Okay, great. I'm looking for the green light. Let's just wait and get the green light. And we just get the green light and we go. But we need the mind of the Lord. If we don't, then we'll just go off doing our things. We'll be doing our things and not God's things. Whenever we wonder what the Lord would have us to do, I think James has a lot to say about that for us, that we ask wisdom. If we lack wisdom, we're to ask the Lord for the wisdom. But we're to ask not doubting that he's going to give it. We have to ask trusting that God's going to give us the wisdom. And then when he gives us the wisdom regarding it, we got to do what he tells us to do. We just got to trust him at the wisdom that he gives us. A lot of times we doubt about the wisdom that he gives us, the instruction that he gives us, and then therefore, because it doesn't fit with, it makes us uncomfortable, it doesn't fit with our scope of how we think it should go, or whatever the reasoning might be, and then now we're back to the same mess. We're going to be tossed to and fro. We're unstable in our ways, basically, is what it says. And that's how that kind of plays out. You can see in a very practical way how that plays out. I think this gives us some insight. We have a lot more we could talk about regarding this, and maybe we'll backtrack a little bit and talk about some of this in our next study. Read through chapter 25. We'll try and get through, I think we can. We can get through all of 25. There's only, we had 23 verses tonight, and there's 55, so we shouldn't have any problem getting through this in our next study. So, and that includes our backtracking, so that'll be a lot of fun. What I'm trying to say in a nutshell is that, man, I wouldn't want to be any place else than where I am. I'm right where I'm supposed to be, and I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. God is moving. I'm watching God move. If you're not seeing God moving, I believe your vantage is skewed. If that's offensive to you, I'm sorry that it's offensive to you, but I'm glad because I think it will help you to seek the Lord to ask for his vantage. In other words, ask for God to give you lenses to see what he is doing, because God is doing tremendous things in our midst. God hasn't assembled us for my convenience or my comfort or anything. God's assembled us, and not for yours either. But God's called us with a purpose. God wants to reach out around us. God wants to do that work, and it's happening. We've just got to start looking at it from his perspective. Let God do what he wants to do. God, by and large, a lot of times blesses us as we're reaching out doing things that are blessings to other people. There are people getting blessed that you know nothing about.